Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete, while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Today from Nationals Park in Washington, D.C., where the 2018 All-Star Game will be played on Tuesday, Jorge Ortiz from USA Today. It'll be the final sports story that he covers. He's moving over to the news side. So we look forward to talking to Jorge, but first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Jorge, first of all, what do you think the atmosphere is going to be like there in D.C. for an all-star game? I know you flew in over the weekend. Have you been able to sort of get a feel for what it's going to be like?
Yeah, you know, people are excited. You see a lot of the posters and a lot of the advertising, the all-star game. And even though the Nationals are not having a great season, they're turned into a mediocre team unexpectedly. You know, this town really does support them. They're really behind them. They're going to have Bryce Harper tonight at the home run derby. So I think there's going to be quite a bit of enthusiasm.
Who do you like in the home run derby? I mean, I'm kind of thinking that Max Muncy is a good pick, sort of, you know, sort of a surprise guy. He's had a surprise season. I think it'd be fun to see him win it.
You know, I'm going with Javier Baez, just with my own Puerto Rican loyalty. You know, he's a guy who does not mind swing it from his ass, as they say. So he'll be pretty comfortable in that setting.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty good. And then the All-Star game, there's only one Giant in the on the roster, and he's in the starting lineup, and that's Brandon Crawford. Very deserving. He's had a great year. Have you talked to him at all beforehand? He's got to be pretty excited about this opportunity.
Yeah, I talked to him briefly. Actually, I was working on a story on Baez and, you know, the fact that they're going to be Keystone combo, and they're both so good defensively, but in very different ways. Baez is flashy, you know, whereas Crawford is just so smooth and steady. But I think he was enthused about, you know, being alongside Baez and then Nolan Arenado. You know, he'll barely have to move to cover any territory with those two guys around.
Yeah, that's really going to be something to watch defensively. And Baez, I mean, he's kind of really made a name for himself with the way he makes tags. And I don't know that anybody ever anticipated that a player could do that, but the way he makes his tags at second base, it's really fun to watch.
He's just so quick and athletic, and, you know, he's creative, tremendously instinctual in his base running and how he goes about the game. You know, sometimes a little, you know, too much flashiness or Al McGuire used to call it, a French pastry. So for some people, you know, that could come across as irksome because on occasion he might muff the routine play. But he makes some just phenomenal ones, and he's got a tremendous arm as well. And so, you know, you see him make throws on relays from the outfield that not many other guys can make.
So the defense is going to be great. Brandon Crawford offensively, you saw it at the beginning of the year. He was sitting under 200 the first month of the season. Then he made an adjustment, and, you know, it was Pablo Sandoval and Gregor Blanco who made a suggestion about lifting his hands up a little bit, and, man, made a big difference. He went on a tear there for a couple of months. What have you thought about Crawford and just the way he's performed offensively?
He's been phenomenal, and just having a left-handed bat in that lineup, right, in that spot where, you know, he used to be an eighth-place hitter, and now he's in the middle of the lineup. He can hit the long ball on occasion. He tends to be very good driving in runs. So, you know, he's a guy who initially in his career, I did not expect to turn into the hitter he did. And I remember having a conversation with Bobby Evans about, oh, you know, this guy is so good defensively. It's too bad that you know, you're going to have to carry his bat. And Bobby said, no, he's going to hit. He was pretty convinced of that, and he was right.
I hope he gets to face Garrett Cole, his brother-in-law. He's faced him in the regular season. He had a home run against him earlier this year. It'd be pretty cool to see them face off in the All-Star game. Can you imagine that? You know, facing your brother-in-law on the big stage like that?
You know, you almost never see something like that, but it's part of that baseball fraternity. You know, guys know each other. They obviously get to know their opponents or teammates' sisters on occasion. So, you know, they end up marrying them. But, yeah, it is kind of a cool story. And definitely Crawford owns bragging rights over Cole right now.
So Buster Posey was the other San Francisco Giant that was named to the All-Star team. He's not going to be there. He's got this hip issue. How much of a concern do you think it is? I mean, he really wasn't swinging the bat very well there in that series against the Oakland A's. It just seems like the hip must be really bothering him. I know he's going to get this cortisone shot. He may have already gotten it last night. I'm not sure. But what kind of concerns do you have about Posey?
It is an issue because you've seen that offense really slow down at times this year. And, you know, he's one of the pillars of that offense. And, you know, he's just not making big time contact. He's putting the ball in play, but he's not driving the ball. And, you know, he had, five home runs. He ranks middle of the pack in the team in RBI. So they need his bat. And it is an issue. We'll see what kind of impact the cortisone shot has, whether it release some of that pain for a while or, you know, just briefly. But he's hugely valuable as a catcher as it is. But they desperately need his bat.
Yeah, and I want to clarify. I mean, he had a couple of hits in each of the first two games against the A's and then went 0-for-4 on Sunday. But, I mean, the thing is, he's only had one extra base hit in the last, I think, couple of weeks. It's just that he's not driving the ball the way he normally does.
Exactly, and that's something they really miss. You know, he could probably be a 280, 290 hitter in his sleep because he is that good of a hitter. But they need him to be productive, not just somebody who will get some singles here and there. And occasionally those singles come with runners in scoring position, which is great, but they need more than that.
Giants seem to be missing something, too. I mean, they've had a season where at times they're playing well. They've never gotten really hot, but they've also never gone into some deep losing streak either. So they're just kind of hanging around in the division. It seems like they're sort of missing one piece or maybe a couple pieces. Do you think they'll be busy here before the trade deadline?
You know, that'll be really interesting to see because they have some limitations as far as, you know, what they can give away in trade. And also in their effort to stay under the luxury tax. So, you know, I think the trade with Texas where they said Austin Jackson did give him some luxury tax relief, but it isn't that much. So I think any trade would have to require another team taking on salary. And, you know, like, you're not going to trade Samardzija now he's injured. Nobody's going to take Hunter Pence. So you're stuck with a lot of bad contracts, and they really severely limit your ability to maneuver.
Well, the young guys certainly have helped out. I mean, are you surprised? I mean, that so many of these guys, you know, that have Suarez and Rodriguez in the rotation, have Hanson really helping out in the lineup, and other guys, you know, Slater now is there, Duggar, and just to see the way Ray Black is throwing the ball, all of these guys that I don't think anybody expected they would be helping the Giants right now.
It has been a surprise indeed because their prospects don't get a whole lot of publicity. They don't get hype as much as other teams. So, and, you know, you look at some of the stats for these guys at AAA, and they're okay, but they're not overwhelming. You know, they don't blow you away. But the guys have a way of making the young guys, when they come in, feel comfortable, feel like they belong. And I think that really it helps them produce and deliver when they come in. And so, you know, we've seen that in Derek Rodriguez, who nobody really knew that much about other than being Pudge's son. And, you know, the Twins had discarded him. We've seen that in Suarez. You know, Alan Hanson, who I think is a fascinating guy. He's, you know, he can fly. He's got some pop. He's versatile. And he's come out of nowhere to really help them out. And then, you know, the recent recall of Duggar, who, you know, has contributed already. So you know, we knew a little bit more about Duggar. We saw him in spring training. But some of the other guys, we didn't know that much about. And so, yeah, it has been a pleasant surprise to see them contribute. We just don't know to what level they'll continue to do so and how extended a period they'll do it. You know, let's remember Cristian Arroyo took us all, just took our breath away when he came up last year, and then he really slowed down.
Why do you think it is that Hanson didn't perform well before this? I mean, he just hadn't been given an opportunity, or was it something else?
It sounds like with Hanson, his defensive skills were not up to par. He didn't really have a position. And, you know, it's a little bit of the curse of versatility. It's like, yeah, he can play some shortstop. He can play some third, second, the outfield. But is he any good at any specific position? And they had and none of those teams really found a spot for him because I think his glove was subpar. I think he's worked a little bit on that, and he has that explosiveness. He's a catalyst. He can really make things happen, and he brings the Giants a dimension that they typically don't have. They're not a team with a lot of speed, and now having him and Duggar in the lineup, you know, just gives them something that they typically are lacking.
Yeah, I mean, I can't stop talking about that play against the Cubs on the pickoff where he scored from first base. I mean, that was Willie Mays-like. That was amazing, wasn't it?
That was tremendous, and also took advantage of Baez, you know, a little like a Daisy going picking up the ball, and then he dropped it. I think assuming that there's no way he's going to try to score on that play. You know, he was conceding the two bases and Hanson getting to third. And what was interesting about that is that, you know, the comment from Joe Maddon, who didn't really chastise Baez for it, but he did say, if anybody should be mindful of somebody being really aggressive on the bases, it should be Baez, because that's exactly what he does. You know, he takes people by surprise by being hyper-aggressive, and that's what Hanson did on him.
Yeah, I love seeing a player push the envelope like that. You mentioned Derek Rodriguez for a while, and he just seems like he's so comfortable in the major league environment. I've heard other people say that as well. And, you know, part of it has to be because of his dad, Pudge Rodriguez. Do you know much about their relationship? I mean, Pudge is definitely being involved now. It was funny to see him in Miami when he was sitting right behind the plate. It looked like he was going to call the pitches. but do you know much about, were they close? You know, it's always hard for a ball player, you know, having kids. I mean, they're not really together as much as they would like because, you know, a player who's on the road for that many years. What do you know about the relationship there?
Not a whole lot, but I do know, like, you know, Pudge and Derek's mother divorced, and he remarried. And so, you know, it's always a little bit different in that regard. You know, you don't have that presence every day, and even more so when, you know, you're the son of a major leaguer who's away all the time. So I think it would be actually kind of interesting to find out a little bit more about Derek's relationship with his mother, because that might have been more crucial in some ways than his father's relationship. But I can't claim to know a whole lot about it. I do like Derek. The times I've talked to him, very, very easy to approach. And I think somebody who, you know, has his feet on the ground. But another thing that really stands out about him is that he does not want to be known as Pudge's son. He wants to be known as Derek Rodriguez. And if you notice, his given name is Ivan, like his dad. He's Ivan Derek Rodriguez.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Derek. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So he's. I think that tells you a little bit of something, that he wants to be Derek Rodriguez, not Pudge's son.
Now, I didn't know if you got a chance to check out the Futures game. I think you did over there at Nationals Park. But, wow, 10-6 was the final, the U.S. winning that. 8 home runs in that game. Must have been pretty exciting.
Lots of balls flying out. Part of it is the weather really contributes. It's hot and humid here. You know, the ball kicks off. This is not AT&T Park, I can tell you that. So, you know, we saw a couple of monster home runs. We also saw Elliot Ramos of the Giants hook a single. So, you know, he contributed a little bit. You know, lots of interesting talent in that game every year.
Yeah, and he got the base hit against his fellow Giants prospect, Sean Anderson, who's had a really good year at AA for the Giants. He ended up getting the win in that game, even though he gave up a home run. But what did you think of Anderson?
I didn't see that much of him at that time. I was working on my story on Venezuelan players, and to me it was kind of an interesting aspect about their development, that you know, they typically sign at 16. And then instead of staying in their country and developing there for a while, they get shipped to the Dominican Republic because hardly any team has an academy in Venezuela anymore because of the huge political and economic crisis the country's under. So I spoke to several of the Venezuelan players about what that was like, and that was the gist of my story.
Well, Anderson is going to start the second half of the year, at least after this Futures game, in Sacramento, AAA. So that's good for him. Yeah, that's an interesting story about the Venezuelan players because, yeah, they do sign really young. And it's got to be hard for some of those guys. They're not really mature yet, and then all of a sudden they're in professional baseball.
When you think about it, a 16-year-old kid is the typical age of a high school sophomore. You know, I have a son who just finished his sophomore year in high school, and I can't imagine shipping him out to another country, even if it's, you know, in this case for the Venezuela, a country where they speak the same language. But I can't imagine shipping him out for months at a time and just having him grow up that quickly. That's it's one of those things people don't really see. You know, they get to see the players when they turn into stars, and you know, when they arrive in the major leagues. But some of the hardships they undergo before, especially players coming from Latin countries where they have to, you know, make all the adjustments to the language and the culture and the food, all that. Those can be really difficult to overcome. You and I have talked about this before, but it's worth reminding people of some of the sacrifices and some of the obstacles that these kids face.
All right, to finish up here, Jorge, this is the last sports event that you're covering for USA Today. It's hard to believe, but you're moving over to news, 31 years covering sports. So has this sunk in yet? Because I know, you know, just recently this decision was made, and I know there was a celebration, which I was really pleased to be a part of there at AT&T Park for your 31 years covering sports. Actually, the Giants and Maria Jacinto did a great job getting you a cake and everything. So tell us, what your thoughts are about moving over to the news side.
Well, first of all, I can't thank the Giants enough. And also, you know, a lot of the people who have approached me about it. But the Giants just really went above and beyond the Call of Duty and that celebration, the cake, the jersey, and all that. It was, you know, it was very, very kind and thoughtful, and I totally appreciated it. I'm looking at this as a career challenge. I like to think there are things I can contribute to the news side. And I think particularly in storytelling and also in stories where, you might even be dealing with people who are Spanish speakers and don't feel comfortable in English. I think I might be able to tell those stories that, maybe go unsaid and illuminate some of the things that, people from Spanish heritage deal with. So that's part of what I'm looking for and am enthused about. But it's also something completely new, and there's a certain amount of trepidation to it because anything new kind of scares you a little bit. So I wouldn't say I'm scared, but I'm a little nervous about, tackling new duties. But I do think I have a good support system around me, and it'll work out pretty well.
Well, I think, you know how to cover stories so well. I think it'll be really hard for somebody if they were just a beat reporter and they were only writing, let's say, game stories. That would be pretty tough to go from just writing a game story to covering news. But you've covered a lot of different sports stories, so that should help, right?
I would expect so, yeah. Just having some versatility. I've covered a wide range of sports, boxing, baseball, basketball, football, soccer, tennis at occasion. So I think some ability to shift gears, and I expect that to be helpful. And I think just the ability to relate to people and listen, I think a lot of times that's underrated. Just, letting people tell their stories, a lot of times that will really kind of shine a light on what kind of story you should tell for them.
And every once in a while, that news story is really a sports story. Who knows? Maybe it bleeds over for you, right?
It could be, yeah. There are stadium issues, and particularly with the A's, and there are any number of things that wind up in the front page that could be sports related. So, in that sense, I would imagine I'll be involved.
Jorge, thanks so much for the time. Enjoy Washington, D.C., the Home Run Derby, the All-Star Game, all of that. And enjoy covering sports here for one last time. Really has been a pleasure to have you on this podcast, and hopefully we'll check in with you again, even though you're not covering sports, because I know you're going to be around, you know, thinking about the Giants since you are from San Francisco. Thanks so much, Jorge.
Absolutely, Joe. Don't be a stranger. Always good talking to you.
That's Jorge Ortiz from USA Today. Join us again later on this week. We'll analyze the All-Star Game with Ray Woodson, and we'll look ahead to the Giants series against the A's in Oakland coming up this weekend. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.